ask a continued interest in your prayers as we approach Psalm 121 tonight. For those of you that haven't been with us during our Bible study here lately, we've been providing notes, and not that that's all that we're going to say. And so it's a challenge sometimes to read what I've the thoughts that came to mind the first time I went through this, because the second time I go through it, there'll be other thoughts. And if we were to go through it a third time, there'd be more thoughts. So it's every now and then we'll stop from the notes and make other comments. But as we said last week, the Psalms 120 through 134 are labeled a Song of Degrees. And the commentators that I've read seem to be fairly well agreed that this was psalms that the people would use when they would journey to Jerusalem those three times in the year when they were to appear before the Lord. And as they would journey, they would sing these psalms. So there's a variety of subjects. Last week we talked about the pilgrims, how the Psalm 120 reminded us that we're pilgrims and strangers in this world. And so this week, my title that I've given it is Pilgrims Know the Help from His Keeper. And I'm not going to, we're a little later getting started tonight than we normally do, and I'm not going to take time to read the eight verses in the psalm in the beginning, but if you would read through it hurriedly, you'd see that the fact that God is our keeper is mentioned several times. And before we get to the notes, it is similar. I'm not saying that there's a verse-by-verse comparison here, but there's a similarity between this psalm and Psalm 23, where he says, "The Lord is my shepherd." And he speaks of all the benefits that we have as his sheep. Well, tonight, as we go through Psalm 121, we're going to see that he's our keeper. And there are many ways that God keeps his people. All right, so I've kind of given you a summary there, that first verse in italics. I'm not going to take time to read that, but that's basically what we're talking about in that as a kind of a lead-in to this one and kind of tie it in to last week. So verse 1 says, "I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills, from whence cometh my help." Now, if you bear in mind the fact that they were on these journeys, and that when you read in Scripture, it always says, let us go up to Jerusalem, because it was on a high place. So when we're talking about looking unto the hills from whence my help cometh, we're talking about looking to Zion, to Jerusalem, all right? So on their journey, getting with the notes here, on their journey they could look up to Jerusalem, the place where God chose to place his sanctuary and for his people to gather for worship of his high and holy name. See, God chose that place. God chose to have his name there for his people to gather there and worship. All right? Today, God is pleased for the church to worship him wherever they meet in his name. All right? Aren't you glad we don't have to go to Jerusalem tonight? And every Sunday? But God dwells in us now, gives us his spirit. And as his people gather together, we can worship him in spirit and in truth. But the idea is still the same. We look up to the same God as they did. Isn't that wonderful? We have the same God tonight that Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and all those patriarchs of the Old Testament, the very same God. From everlasting to everlasting, thou art God. He'll always be there for us. We know, as they knew, that our help comes from the Lord. Without him, we're helpless in this cruel and unfriendly world through which we travel. How'd you like to spend a day without the Lord? Now, there's times we come close, don't we? We get busy. We forget. We rush off and do what we have to do. And somewhere along the way, we realize something's missing. Now, I hope that doesn't happen very often, but it does happen, doesn't it? It can. And how miserable a day that is, all right? Thankfully, we have brothers and sisters in the faith. But first and foremost, we each need the help of the Lord for every step of our pilgrimage. We should look to Him when we awake each morning, walk with Him throughout the day, and go to sleep at night thanking Him for His watch care over us. Isn't that a good prescription for each day? To wake up thanking God, thinking about Him, walking with Him each day, and then lie down at night. We might have to do a little confessing. We might not have done exactly what we should have all day, but if we can thank Him for His blessings, ask Him for forgiveness, I tell you, that's a good way to go to sleep. We might not need as much Prozac, you know, in this world, if more people would do that. Verse number 2. My help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. The help we need and the help we have does not come from one who's negligent, nor is it from one who's not able to provide what is needed. Now, stop right there. Isn't it wonderful that God is able? I mean, I just love to think about that for a while from time to time. That God is able. You know, I'm thankful that we are blessed and we have to all be thankful for this and not get lifted up in pride in any way, but we're thankful that God has blessed us to understand that He is in control and that salvation was purposed and accomplished by His Son. So that God is not in heaven wringing His hands, wondering how all this is going to turn out. Jesus is not there wondering how many is going to accept Him and be saved. Now, we can be thankful for that tonight because there are millions of good and godly people in the world who see that differently. And they're just as much God's children as we are. But we don't agree on that point. All right, so our help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth, and God's able. Our help is from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. Since He stretched the stars out into space and holds them in their proper place, you recognize those words? What are the songs we sing? Well, since He's done that, since He's made heaven and earth and all that is in them, and since He knows the end from the beginning and works His will in the army of heaven and among the inhabitants of men without question, can't He handle the problems we face each day? Can He? Is anything too hard for the Lord? I just couldn't get all this in here. Is anything too hard for the Lord? Now, I know that, you know, He cannot change. He cannot violate His holiness. He cannot go against His own will. I mean, there's ways of looking at things that God cannot do and the good reasons for that. But anything that it is His will to do, He can do it. He's able. God who made heaven and earth. How much power did that take? How much wisdom did that take to bring all this wonderful world into existence and to keep it in harmony? As long as man stays out of the way, this world's in harmony. You know? All right, so My help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. All right? So, yes, he can handle our problems each day. So we know that what God has promised, he is able to perform. I've given you some scriptural references that bear this out. I may not take time to read them. There's one of them I'm going to read, but hopefully they're familiar enough verses that you understand what we're talking about here. But to know that it's God, our help comes from the one who made heaven and earth. That says a lot. Yes, he's able to take care of our problems. Yes, he knows them. And he's well able to provide. All right? Verse 3. He will not suffer thy foot to be moved. He that keepeth thee will not slumber. Slumber. Aren't you glad God doesn't slumber? You know, sometimes we can't get through a church service without somebody slumbering. But thankfully, God doesn't slumber. We know this is so eternally because Jesus obtained eternal redemption for us. Isn't that wonderful? We don't have to worry about that. And nothing shall be able to separate us from the love of God. Isn't that wonderful? We don't have to worry about that. All right? But what about daily? You know, we rejoice in those doctrines that speak of those things that God has done that will stand forever. But what about daily? What about each step of the way? All right? He says, he'll not suffer thy foot to be moved. He that keepeth thee will not slumber. What about daily? Well, he will not slumber. He sees all and knows all, and he will intervene according to his will and according to what is best. Now, when you think about that, and you understand all that God sees and knows, and I think, was it Sunday, we talked about how that if we should ever question God's goodness, you know, if we should ever question God, then we're questioning whether or not he is always good and always right. But since we know that he's always good and he's always right, then if we should bring him into question, then we're questioning whether he really is that. All right? You may need those trials to learn to trust God more. See, we're talking about every day. We know he keeps us eternally. We're preserved in Christ. But what about every day? You say, preacher, sometimes life's hard. Sometimes it's a struggle. Sometimes there's trials and heartaches. Well, you may need those trials to learn to trust God more. You can go through those trials coming out the other side of trusting God more. Would you say that's a good thing? All right? You may need to be reminded that you're not as strong as you think you are. You ever need that? I do. Afraid I do. We may need that from time to time. You may need some more humility right now. That got quiet. Nobody here needs any more humility, do they? I do. Pride is an awful foe. Ugh. And it rears its ugly head so quickly. There may be some things we go through sometimes just to nip that in the bud a little bit. We may need that. You may need some hardship to appreciate all that the Lord has already provided for you. Do you ever forget? You know, I made the statement several weeks ago, you don't have the right to ask God for anything else until you have thanked Him for everything He's given you. Have you done that? Boy, it got quiet. Think about it.
We'd all have to still be thankful.
That's right. We wouldn't have time to do anything else, would we? All right? So we might need some hardship from time to time to appreciate what God has already given us. If we didn't have the trials, the challenges, and lessons, we'd be even more spoiled than we already are. Preacher, I'm not spoiled. Well, the Lord's been awful good to us. Awfully good to us. We need to thank Him. And I dare say we need to thank Him more than we have. And I don't even know how much you've thanked Him. But I'll venture to say that we need to thank Him more than we already have. Verse 4. Behold, he that keepeth Israel shall neither sleep nor slumber. He's already said that, hasn't he? But he said, behold. We heard about that recently, didn't we? Stop and think about it. Don't just rush over this. He's already told us, and he's going to tell us some more. God doesn't sleep nor slumber. He's on the job 24/7. Can you thank Him for that? I can thank Him for that. All right, so behold this truth. Stop and think about what this means. According to 1 Corinthians 10:13, I'm going to take some time on that one before I read the rest of this. It won't take you but a second to read the rest of this, but remember 1 Corinthians 10:13? There hath no temptation taken you but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that which you're able, but will, with the temptation, make a way to escape that we may be able to bear it. Now, that was a mouthful, all right? But let me give you a summary of what that means. And that's the rest of the notes here in this paragraph. Nothing will ever try you but that God is aware of it. He knows. And He's approved it for your experience. Now let that soak in for a second. Trials, heartaches, He knows it, and He's approved it for your experience. And He will temper it so that it's not too much for you. How many times do we cry, Lord, it's just too much? I know we've probably all felt that from one time or another. But He will not suffer you to be tempted above that which you're able. Is that the truth? All right. So He will temper it so that it's not too much for you because He always knows what we need. If we didn't have the struggle, we wouldn't grow. Behold, he that keepeth Israel shall neither sleep nor slumber nor sleep. Verse 5. The Lord is thy keeper. The Lord is thy shade upon thy right hand. We keep getting this thought, don't we? He's our keeper. He neither will slumber nor sleep. Okay? To travelers in that part of the world, a shade from the burning of the sun was important. We think it gets hot here. It really gets hot over there. And I haven't even been there, but I've heard stories. As our great keeper, the Lord is also right there to shield and protect from whatever might hinder us in our work. If the Lord has put something upon our heart to do for His glory and for the benefit of others, He will also help us to do it. Now think about that for a minute. If it's the Lord's will, you know, that's why I cringe when people say, well, I'll be at church if I'm not providentially hindered. Does the Lord keep anybody from church? I don't think so. The devil does. That's right. Amen to that. All right. So if the Lord puts it on your heart to do something, if you have a desire to do a good work, He'll help you. Who put it there to start with? He works in us both to will and to do of His good pleasure. If He put it there, He will help you do it. All right? The right hand is the place of favor. So as God favors us with His help and protection, He will also help us do those favored things which honor Him and bless others. So may we remember that He is always there to help us do whatever we can to be a blessing to others and to bring glory to His name. He'll protect us to help us to do what we need to do. Verse 6, the sun shall not smite thee by day, nor the moon by night. What does that call to mind? Shielding someone in the daytime and also at night. Does that bring to mind some story in the Old Testament? Yeah. All right. The psalmist continues to speak of this great protection by reminding them of how the Lord protected His people when He brought them out of Egypt. They had been slaves, and they were not prepared at all for their journey into an area where the conditions were severe. But God provided a cloudy pillar to stay above them, to shield them from the heat of the day, or heat by day, and it was also a pillar of fire by night to keep them warm. What a marvelous provision. Think about that. God called His people out of Egypt. They had to leave in haste. They weren't prepared for a long journey like that. But God shielded them in the daytime. I understand that you can get freezing cold at night in the desert. Used to work with a man that was a Marine, and he was stationed in North Africa for a while, and he said it would get to 130 degrees in the daytime, and at the night it would cool down to 90, and you'd be shivering in your blanket. Now that's hard to imagine, but that change in temperature. So there was a need in the desert for warmth at night. Isn't God good? Isn't He wonderful that He can do such as that? You know, it was millions of people that left Egypt, wasn't it? Millions. That's a lot of people. And God provided for each one. What a marvelous thing. And so, we're reminded that God still favors His people with just such provisions today. Do you believe that? He does. Whether day or night, He never sleeps nor slumbers, but is always watching over and keeping Israel. That's good for us to remember, that God is watching over us and keeping us, that He's always watching, that He's always keeping, and He is able to do that for all of His people all the time. Okay? Verse 7, the Lord shall preserve thee from all evil. He shall preserve thy soul. I didn't put this in the notes, but we have to balance a thought like that. Because you read that when he says he'll preserve thee from all evil, and perhaps some thought comes to mind, well, I know some bad things that's happened to good people. And we do live in a fallen world. And sin is all around us. And so, let's get into what I said, and maybe we'll add to it. Now, if the Lord would be so actively involved in protecting his people from the harsh elements of our environment, how much more would he be willing to protect us from all evil? Would he do that? The Old Testament says, "For the Lord loveth judgment and forsaketh not his saints. They are preserved forever, but the seed of the wicked shall be cut off." In the Old Testament, we're told we're preserved forever. If we're his child, if we're blessed to know him and to know something of his love, no matter whatever happens to us in this life, if our life should be taken from us, if we should be treated so harshly that our life is taken, we would immediately awake in the presence of God. That's our security. Yes, some bad things have happened to good people. I don't understand. We don't have the answers to some things that happen in this world. But we can rejoice in the fact that Jesus has died for our sins, that we cannot be separated from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus, and that he's already obtained our eternal redemption for us. Now we can carry that with us throughout our day. And nothing will ever change that, will it? All right. Also, Jude says in the New Testament, Jude, the servant of Jesus Christ, and brother of James, to them that are sanctified by God the Father, another way of saying that we're chosen in Christ, and preserved in Jesus Christ, and called. It was his purpose to save us. Jesus has saved us, and he makes it known to us sometime during our lifetime. While we're faced with much evil that often frightens us and causes pain, that can never separate us from God. And our best defense for each day is to stay close to him and seek his guidance for each step of our way. Do you agree? It's the best thing we could do, isn't it? Stay close to the Lord. At times, we have not because we ask not. Remember where that's spoken of in the Bible? I believe Brother James said that, didn't he? All right. At other times, we don't see the help we need because we're not looking for him in it. You ever found that to be the case? The sooner we remember that our help is from him, the sooner we'll find it. Now, I'm thankful that God watches over us. And there's times he delivers before we even realize we need help. Have you experienced that? And we're thankful for it. But there's times when the Lord realizes that we need to be reminded that he's there. And so he lets the rope out a little bit. And then we have to remember where our help comes from. All right? Verse 8. The Lord shall preserve thy going out and thy coming in from this time forth and even forever more. Think about that for a second. By going out, by coming in, from this time forth, even forevermore. This promise the children of Israel had for all of their days. It is an all-encompassing promise that as they made their pilgrimage, the Lord would watch over them. He would watch over all that they left behind as they went to obey his command, and that he would watch over and bless them on their return home. So also, we as God's people have his watch, care, and safekeeping promised to us for our pilgrimage. Aren't you glad? As we're growing up, sometimes we think mom and daddy can do anything. You ever felt that way when you were little? Mom and daddy can fix anything. Then you get a little older and you realize that's not the case. And then some of us get to the place where mom and daddy is not around anymore. But God is. God will always be there for us. Always. Even in eternity. But we're never out of his watchful care. And there may be times when he chastens us and disciplines us if we get out of the way, but we're never out of his hand, are we? We're always his child. He always loves us for Christ's sake. He may not love everything we do, but he loves us because of the merit of Jesus Christ as ever our acceptance in the Father. But he will always be there for us. He made that promise to natural Israel. He will certainly keep it for his spiritual Israel. Our job is to keep looking up to him, knowing that it is from him that our help must come. That's our job, isn't it? To keep looking to him, to walk in fellowship with him, to enjoy his presence in our lives, and to bring honor and glory to his name. We can do that, can't we? It's a privilege that we're blessed to know him. It's a privilege to serve him. I know we come short. I know we make mistakes. But what a privilege we have to serve the one that watches over us and keeps us. Over and over, this psalm has reminded us that God is our keeper and that he never sleeps nor slumbers in doing what he has promised. May we look to him forevermore. Now that we've gone through such detail, maybe sometime in the near future you will go back and read those 8 verses together to really let that idea of him being our keeper, let it sink down. Let it find a lodging place in our hearts. May we always be reminded that he never sleeps nor slumbers. He's always watching. He's always able to supply our every need. May we look unto him from whence our help comes. May God bless you is our prayer. Mm-hmm.